The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? The University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Leader Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
At the races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. It's just about just hour three. Perfect timing, and still looking for John and Diane Radkin, and they're in town for tomorrow because in the risk averse. They're going to send Republique, and nice to have them in Saratoga. Drag them away from from Del Mar. So we'll see if we can't get them to circle back over here. Safi Joseph is training Republique for them, and 12-1 Jose Ortiz. They tried the Delaware Oaks. She's going to run on turf for the first time here. And came out over the winter, early spring, April, maiden win upon debut for Safi Joseph. Homebred of theirs. And we'll see. You know what? I could just as easily send them a text as well. I'm also waiting here for a visit from Kenny McPeak, and we got him. Kenny McPeak, good morning. Kenny.
Yes, sir.
Ken McPeak joins us, and Kenny, you and I had a pretty amazing conversation yesterday afternoon. I appreciated you getting back, and came ahead of the race at Parks with Creative Minister, and of course over the weekend, St. Louis Derby win added to the trophy collection.
Yeah, we've been a little bit here and there and everywhere lately. It's all good.
Talk for a second. I happen to have that right in front of me, the Rattle and Rolls win, and that's a nice kind of pick me up for him.
It was a good spot for him. You know, I could have gone to Philadelphia with him as well, and he I think he's a horse that's been on the fringes of, you know, the top 3 year olds, but I think if we spot him right, you know, through his career, especially the St. Louis race was a really good spot for him, and we got to keep doing that. And we've got some more 3-year-old races before the end of the year to be able to tinker with him. And he's a really solid horse. You know, he's pushing a million in earnings, and every time he goes out there, it gives you 1,000%. We wish they were all that good.
Well, the opportunities, and it's clear that you're looking at every condition book you can find, because you've turned up at a bunch of interesting venues, and he's actually, you know, moved around, having you know, tried the Indiana Derby, and you got a lot of different places to go with these horses, and nice to get a win like this, and this is a $250,000 purse. Nothing wrong with that either.
No, absolutely. Yep. No, you get a good 3-year-old, and you certainly, if you can't put him at the highest level, you can certainly spot him around and have a whole lot of fun in the Mackin family. They had a whole lot of fun on that trip.
Well, and touch on Creative Minister and also Envoûtant, who ran here last Friday, and that Summer Colony ended up being, we talked about it yesterday with Will Schwartz, the owner of Leader of the Band. I mean, that race, ended up being a much tougher than those restricted stakes frequently are, and that actually was a sneaky good performance. I imagine you're kind of satisfied with her effort Friday.
Well, fair enough. I thought that she really went too fast, too early. That she hadn't run in a while, and I was afraid of those early fractions, which softened her up late, and she needed the race. And in hindsight, we probably should have been laying back, fourth or fifth, and then making one run. But she does have natural speed, and she took him to the first turn and felt like nobody went. But then the middle portion of the race, they went a little quick. But, that sets her up for a good next run, and she probably won't surface again until the Spencer. She does well with time in between, and get her back into Kentucky and give her another shot at a grade one.
Excellent. And how about Creative Minister yesterday?
He stuck on third, this horse. Third in the Preakness, third in the Curlin, now third in the Smarty Jones. He's a nice, solid horse. He's reminiscent of Rattle and Roll. If we place him right and we find the good spots, I think he's okay. He could come back in the Bourbon Trail at Churchill, a race we won last year with King Fury. He could come back in the Oklahoma Derby. We'll obviously try to keep him and Rattle and Roll separated, but those two are kind of two peas in a pod if you find the right spot.
Nice. Well, in addition, of course, to the stakes successes and board hits, there's been a variety of performers, whether it's Saratoga. Brad Cox visited earlier, as it happens, Kenny, and you guys have kind of a parallel season going, a bunch of maiden wins at Saratoga and at Ellis.
Mm-hmm. Well, young horses make us. You got to have them. And I think we're both fortunate to have those. I actually can remember talking to Brad about this topic over 10 years ago. And I said, young man, you need to get better young horses. And, boy, he's done a great job. I mean, he's kicking tail everywhere. And he's a fine young horseman and got a lot of respect for his work.
Well, I could do the same thing I did with him. I mean, here's what you've done in basically, call it 6 weeks, in terms of maiden work. Hayes Strike won over the weekend, Saturday at Ellis, maiden winner. Saratoga, you had that rarefied flair in that exciting four-horse finish that had everybody kind of pulling their hair out. Everybody needed a different horse to cash the pick five. Clear the Deck with a nice maiden win at Saratoga. Lovely Princess at Ellis. Fun and Feisty at Churchill. Encourage at Ellis. High Fashion Lady at Colonial. Let's Duet, maiden claiming win. Bright Prospector at Ellis. Mayfield Strong at Ellis. Frosted Departure at Ellis. CC Cruise Control. This is unbelievable. And Honed. These are all maiden wins in the last 6 weeks.
Well, like I said, we get a lot of young horses, and I buy yearlings and develop them along, and some of those are 3-year-olds you mentioned, but a lot of them are two. When you've got to have that base of young horses to be able to get the good horses that take you to the stake races, and it's all a process. It takes time, and the maiden win's the easy part. The rest of it's trying to get them to that highest level.
Well, and you know what I should include in the successes, Kenny, and then I want you to tell everybody about your sales, your basically, you know, the padding for gold and your international sale watch. But I want you to talk about Casa Creed, because Lee Einsiedler goes out of his way with every success that Casa is piling up, goes out of his way to thank you publicly, having picked Casa out for him.
Lee's a great guy. You know, I do the auction work for Lee. Most people think I just buy for myself, but I buy for some other people, and I bought some horses for Billy Ma as well as for Lee. And, you know, look, Casa Creed's work has been fantastic to watch, and I've been thrilled to be a part of it, however small. And Lee sends me to the sale, and I send him a list, and he picks out what he likes, and if he buys them, great. And then he commissions me well, and then he gives him the bill, and he's very loyal. He said to me, Bill's my trainer because he's a New York trainer, and I'm not, and I'm okay with that. And, I bought him High Oak, too, and we're going to keep working and see if we can find him some more. You know, I just think the sale is, I mean, I never could train a slow horse to run fast. I can make a fast horse to run slow. Some have accused me of that. But it all starts at the horse sale, and if you can find a good one, then it makes everybody's job easier, and it's so much fun when you do.
Hey, tell everybody what you've been doing these last few weeks with this wild travel circuit you went on.
Well, I do it every year. I mean, if people are paying attention, I don't work the 2-year-old sales. So I focus in on yearlings, and I work the July phasic sale. I want to say we bought 11 in July, and then we waited for this phasic tip in August, and we worked through it. I bought 4 there. That was tough sledding, but I got 4 nice horses, and you never know what you're going to come up with. We bought a Flame Away colt for quite a bit of money. Scott Lead bought a beautiful Mendelssohn filly. Susan Moulton bought a Flatter filly, and then we bought another Mendelssohn colt post-sale. And then immediately after that sale was over, I hopped the plane to Arcana in France, flew basically Saratoga directly into Deauville on a plane supplied by the sales company, and spent 5 days there with my older daughter, bought 4 there. Interesting breeding. The middle and the lower end of that market over there, I think, is really for the pickings for Americans right now, especially with the strength of the dollar. And I bought a Wooten Bassett filly, looked like she'd handle dirt. Bought a Almanzor colt for Greg Back. Actually bought some the Wooten Bassett for my racehorse. And that's the first horse I've ever bought for them. And a couple other ones is the Rack filly for Susan Moulton also. And one other one that passes my brain here. Let's see, one more. What was it? Anyway, it was a good trip. So, a Kingman colt for Evan Tromer.
Ooh.
And that's a horse that should dirt as well. So, we'll bring some of those back over here and see how good they are. Went from there to Ireland. Went from there to Ireland on the Coolmore plane. And spent 3 days in Ireland with Paul Shanahan, his team. Looked at some horses for good client Phoenix. And then went to York and watched Baid run. Went over and back with Aidan O'Brien, which was really cool. He's a longtime friend of mine. And then got back from that trip, and then had to pop over to England and look at a group for Phoenix also, and spun around, and I was in St. Louis by Saturday night.
pretty wild. And of course, mm-hmm. Now gearing up for the big run at Keeneland.
Yeah, you know, but we've got this Kentucky Downs meet, and we've got a few more days left at Ellis. We're one behind in the training run there, and if we can win a couple more, if we got a chance to win that, that'd be nice. I mean, it's not certainly a focus training title, but if you get one, it's always good. And then, Kentucky Downs, I've got horses for every single day, multiple horses for every single day, and then We got the Churchill meet. We just marked that condition book this morning. I'm at Churchill now. I'm actually sitting in Wagner.
So nice.
Here, Wagner's getting a little late breakfast, early lunch. And then, you know, then obviously Keeneland. We've got horses for open a week there. So it's that time of year, and we're going to have to get geared up for the Keeneland September sale. And I actually am planning a little vacation in December with my wife. She says I do too many horse trips.
Well, we're gonna see you here next week before we wrap up at Saratoga.
I'll be at Saratoga tomorrow, and I'll be there to the bitter end. And we've got some runners left over, and I don't know that we got anything major, but we've got some nice young horses we're getting ready to fire with.
Well, speaking of young horses, let me ask about the Friday and Saturday maidens that are lined up at Ellis, starting with, let's see, Sacred Kitten and Right Now. Sacred Kitten, 3-year-old Kitten's Joy for Dixie Anna, that's still trying to figure it out, it seems.
Well, you know, she's Kitten's Joy. You would think she's a grass horse, but she's out of a Carson City mare, and she probably looks more like Carson City. She looks better than she's ever looked right now. Is she high-level talent? I think that's questionable. I think we're going to have to find the right spots for her and, you know, place her where she can get it done. But stakes quality remains to be seen. Maybe we'll get a breakthrough run out of her this week. But, you know, solid filly overall. And then the filly right now, that filly, she needs to show a second gear. I'm not going to tell you that I think she's a first-time outer, but should run respectable, and you know, she's trained well and looks good right now, and you got to start somewhere.
That's a homebred, actually, of Brian Hilliard's.
Yeah, I just picked up a few horses for him earlier in the year. We've got 2nd of July, horse that won a stake in New York, and I've got another, I've got a colt by Temple City, actually gelding by Temple City, that I think could run well. He's actually in this week too. That colt could run really well.
What's his name again?
Oh shoot! CRS disease. You know what that means?
Say it again. CRS.
Trying to remember everything. He's in on the 27th. Solomon Vandy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Solomon Vandy.
Well,
cause he's actually a gelding.
Solomon?
Yeah, he was gelded before we got to him. But he could solid horse. He's strictly grass horse. Should have got a lot out of the first race. He was 5th by 3, and he'll come back and he'll improve off that.
Well, is Caballo Feliz listed in there too?
He's going to need a run.
Run happy. Yeah.
He's going to need a run. He doesn't act like he's got a ton of turn of foot, but he keeps coming. And, you know, good starter for Calumet. But he needs to act like he can turn it over a little quicker. He hadn't shown that first time out's going to be his game, but I think he's going to break, settle, get in rhythm, and then make a little run. And if he can get there, great. But I think he's going to need a couple of runs. And we may wheel back at Kentucky Downs off this race.
Interesting. All right, so watching for a little bit more for Solomon Vandy with Corey Lannery in that 5th coming up on Saturday, and down the road for Caballo Feliz. Right now, a little bit more of a now prospect than also Sacred Kitten. 4 starters at Ellis over the next few days. Kenny McPeak. Who's running Saturday here that you mentioned?
I've got a couple of fillies. Well, I'm going to run Crazy Beautiful in the personal lens, and that's going to be deep water for her. I'm a little worried about that.
Yeah.
You know, she's had a hard time getting over the hump, but we're going to give her one more shot. She's there local, and I think it's going to be a short field. But she's just been a lovely filly to be around all her career, and I'd love to think we could knock down a grade one with her. And then I've got some young fillies that are going to run this weekend, more than likely Mo Shiro and possibly Freitas the Red, They're both slated for the 28th. And then got some others that we're going to pull up before we're done there. We got, like I said, some bullets left in the gun.
Kenny, I appreciate it, and we'll see you this weekend, and then we'll see you plenty. We'll be at Kentucky Downs for about, I think, either three or maybe four of the days. So looking forward to that as
okay.
well. Well done. St. Louis Derby win and plenty other good things happening in the Round the Barn.
All right. Take care.
Thanks, Kenny. Kenny McPeak, everybody. And no sooner does Kenny exit, but Seth Merrow enters.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Is Kenny in town? He owes me a visit.
He's coming in for Saturday. Right now, he's at Churchill Downs.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, he owes me a visit.
Do you got a checklist? You just check them off as the summer goes on?
Kind of, yes. In fact, I do.
Yeah.
It's not super formal, but it's a list, and I do check them off. So, yes.
You haven't had me on.
I have you on every Sunday morning.
Wait,
or you have me on.
How does
that work?
We co-host that. What are you talking about? Yeah. We've had a very good, for those of you that haven't, you know, if you ever miss, I don't know why you would, if you miss Loose on the Lee, you can watch it at the Capital OTB YouTube channel, and you can also watch it live on Twitter and Facebook, and it's like everywhere.
Yeah, no, social media has opened things up. Just walking around this year, you know, we went on to Roku OTB TV January of last year, and I heard from a number of people up here, but this year even more. I've had people who are like, hey, love the show. And it's like, I'm watching down in Long Island. I'm watching in Florida. I'm watching in Louisville. So Darren Rogers from Churchill Downs watches on Facebook every day, he said. So,
unbelievable. Yeah. Well, then you're more popular than ever.
I really?
You should be compensated appropriately.
You ain't kidding.
Yeah. Hello. Hello. Come on. Come on, management. Let's go. He's the face of the franchise. You are. You right? I mean, who?
Yeah. The face of GoTB.
Coined by me.
Not every day, but I probably hear three times a week.
Really? It registers?
Yes.
It's registered. Yeah. And get Diane over here too. Seth Merrow with us, and here come the Fradkins, John and Diane. I didn't realize Republic is running tomorrow, so that's why they made somehow they were torn away from Del Mar. It better be something good to get them out of the hometown. And it's great to see you guys.
Hi, Steve. Wow, this is where the sausage is made.
Exactly. It's an ugly process too, just like Bismarck said.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, we are first-time Saratoga, so this is all new to us.
Really?
And, never been here before.
Oh,
and,
wow.
It's pretty cool. Pretty cool. Yeah.
Oh, that's tremendous. I just thought maybe, you know, over the course of, you know, racing interest.
Things always look different than you picture them in your mind. You
right.
know? But they're equally as cool, just different. Like, I've always heard about the picnic tables and how there's this mad rush to get to the picnic tables. I figure there are like 15 or 20 of them. God, there's like hundreds.
Oh, yeah, it's a different story. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, I'm going to ask you one question. It's bigger than you expected, no?
Yeah, it is bigger than I expected.
Yeah.
It's kind of a carnival-like atmosphere.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Beers are $5. I took a picture because my friends back at Del Mar would never believe that.
Well, yeah. it's
beers at Del Mar are $14. Unless you get the Coors Light, then they're only $9.
It's a bargain. Unbelievable. You know, the funniest thing about you guys turning up, and I hadn't really gone through the card for Friday to notice that, you know, that your homebred was in, but I brought you up earlier this morning about Treasure Trove running at Charlestown Friday.
Yeah, I saw that. Pretty cool, huh? You know, we tried to claim him for $32,000 back in October. Didn't get him, but wish we had. Yeah, he's done well.
How many mares right now since we talked last?
We have just three mares.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, we're a small operation.
Yeah.
But three mares, you still got some pretty big bills, you know?
No doubt. Well, but maybe those bills will start to get offset soon for next year. Give us an update. I promised everybody that you'd update us on Ron Bauer's status and where he's going to turn up.
Yeah, well, as you said a couple of months ago, he's still a free agent. And, you know, we still hope to stand him in Kentucky. But we do not have a deal done yet. We've had some interest from Japan. And we've had a lot of interest from regional markets. And, I don't know, I'm kind of indirectly, Kentucky has, they sort of indirectly said, he's not 16-2, and we only stand stallions that are 16-2. Nobody's really said that in so many words, but that's the impression I'm getting. And so for the record, he's 16-0. He weighs 1,125 pounds. He's not tiny. He's not a bad-looking horse. He's just not gigantic. And, you know, I think we're still going to get something done, but right now it's still in the works.
That's interesting. That's a side of the game I hadn't even thought about. Kind of when you have a horse afterwards and you're looking to where's he going to wind up, and that's...
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, trying to get your kid into college. You know, we don't have any kids, but, you know, we're always trying to get our horse kids into the best schools. Yeah. And, you know, this sort of reminds me of that. You know, you gotta kind of sell it a little bit. And, I mean, you know, he's a classic winner. He comes from one of the best female families on the planet. You know, very precocious. He won in his first start. Two of his siblings won in their first start, one in his second start. You know, I don't know. I think he belongs in Kentucky, so we're going to try to get it done. That is my first choice. That's where the mares are. I think if, you know, if he gets 100, 150 mares, he's got as good a chance as anybody to make it. And, you know, if you go to a regional market, you're not going to get that many mares, and you're not going to get the quality of mares. So I think he deserves his chance in Kentucky. He ran the sixth fastest Preakness of all time. He went like almost a full second faster than this year's winner. So anyway, that's my sales pitch on Ron Bauer.
Well, and it's a deserving sales pitch, and you would think, as a son of Twirling Candy, who's a $60,000 cover, you would think that in the $15,000 to $25,000 range, that he's a natural.
Yeah, you would think so. You would think so. So like I say, you know, it's a very seasonal business. We got hurt at an inopportune time. And I sort of, you know, pulled the plug on last year, or this year, I guess you should call it. And, you know, we want to do it for 2023. And, you know, I've been told a lot of deals get done in September, which makes a lot of sense because everybody's in town for the yearling sales. And, you know, I would say we'll have a deal done by October 1st, probably. That is sort of my line in the sand date. Maybe a couple weeks past that. But we'll have news and we'll have a deal done by about then. So, but right now, everything's still kind of up in the air.
Where's he hanging out? Where's he being kept?
He's at Windstar Farm. And he's undergoing some therapy. He's keeping busy. He's, you know, doing stuff every other day. And he's in shape. He looks good. He's, you know, he's ready to be viewed by anybody who wants to go look at him. And quite a few people have, but perhaps not recently. I think when we first got him out there and back in January, we had a flurry of people come look at him. But I think everybody decided, well, we don't really need to do anything now. But, you know, we're getting to the point where we should start getting closer to, you know, people putting real offers on paper, and you know, I look forward to that.
The horse Republic is the sister, right?
She is.
The way you got to Cashmere, the dam.
Well, we owned Ultra Fleet, who's a really superior broodmare.
Yes,
and Cashmere was the second to last foal. And we actually kept the last two. They were both fillies, and we thought we'd continue the family. And we wound up selling one of them, but we kept Cashmere. I had a feeling all along Cashmere might be a really good mare. She was a beautiful mover, just got hurt before she started. And, you know, she's been just a spectacular broodmare so far. You know, I think it's five to the races, all of them winners. Three of them won in their first start, if you can believe that, and one of them won in his second start. You know, Kono's up around almost 200,000.
Oh, yeah.
Treasure Show's over 300,000 and running the $1 million race. And, of course, and there's Ron Bauer and Republique has been a surprise. You know, we didn't expect her to be this good, but she seems like she's got some talent. I was really just going to run her once or twice in Florida and do the ship and win and send her to Del Mar, but, you know, she won in her first start. Then she won in her second start, too, and then we, you know, we tried a real big one up in Delaware, Delaware Oaks. That didn't go so well, but I think she had some excuses. There's a two-year-old named Alexander Helios by Cairo Prince. He's been a little disappointing so far, but
who's got him?
He's with Michael McCarthy.
Nice.
And he's a big strap and good-looking horse. And perhaps he hasn't really done what he really wants to do yet, which is go long.
Yeah.
So he'll probably run again on closing day at Del Mar in the maiden special weight, 1 mile on turf this time, if the racing gods cooperate. And then we did have a full sister to Ron Bauer, beautiful horse, according to our farm guy Ben Berger. And so pretty excited about her. And I'm not sure if we'll keep her or not, but she's one to look forward to.
Absolutely.
Both as a sales prospect and also as a racehorse.
Who did Cashmere get covered by for next year?
We went to our Constitution.
Interesting. Okay.
This year, so she's in full to Constitution.
Nice. Nice. Well, excited to have you here and delighted to have you here. And reach out to the Fradkins if you want to stay in Rombauer. Negotiations are open. The lamp is lit.
Thanks, Steve. Good to see you as always.
And, a delight.
Thanks for all you do for the industry. And, you know, it's good to be here.
Great to have you. Diane, how's the golf? How you hitting them?
Flashes of brilliance.
Right?
We're all familiar with that concept.
Yes. We try, at least. So
I've seen you out there.
I've been playing in a league, and that's fun.
I love it.
Won a few skins, but there's always room for improvement.
Too nice to have you here.
Good seeing you, Steve.
Always. The Fradkins, John and Diane at Saratoga. Let's get a picture. Come with, stand behind Seth, and we'll get a get this way. Seth gets on the. Look at this. Fantastic. And we'll do it this way. Oh, it's a home run. Thanks, guys. Great to see you.
Grab a $5 beer.
Well, or you can buy a six-pack and just bring it in.
That's right. Put it in your cooler and grab one of those picnic tables. Bam, you're covered.
Too funny. We got the greatest history with them. They Southern California, and they've been listeners forever. And I would hear, you know, I would get an occasional email, or, I've seen their horses run forever, and as a breeder, and even before Ron Bauer, came to prominence, they would listen to the show, and when I would talk about the Dal Rey in Pico Rivera, the fabulous, absolute classic, you know, Southern California style banquette steakhouse and more. And they, when they were dating, and when they, apparently when they were a young couple, they used to go to the Dow all the time. And they hadn't thought about it. They said in like 15 or 20 years they hadn't been. And when they heard me start talking about the Dow, they started going again. And so they let me know that at some point, and I got the biggest kick out of that. And then Ron Bauer came along, and delighted for them. Really nice, the John and Diane Fradkin. We're going to call Leslie Young momentarily. Seth, how bad have you looked at the scratches? How terrible is it?
The turf races got hit, but most of them had a string of
MTOs.
Well, and like I'm just looking at the seventh had no MTOs, but the early look I had at the scratches had no scratches. So at this point, the scratches, I think, aren't, you know, didn't
devastate
really. Yeah,
didn't. All right, I'm in trouble. I mean, I thought when I didn't see a decision by 6:30 or so, I thought, okay, cool, we're going to be okay, and that it we weren't getting as much rain as we got.
Well, I'm curious, you know? What did you get up in Greenwich? Because I went to the TRF
we got,
event.
How bad was the guy?
Oh, it was a monsoon on
was
my drive.
Really?
I mean,
really
literally,
was, huh?
I came up Geyser Crest, which is a, you know, 30-mile-an-hour road. I mean, it's not a, and people were pulled over. They were not driving through, and then the hail popped on the car, and
ooh,
the power went out.
There was hail?
Oh yeah, there was 15 or 20 minutes of biblical proportions.
How about that? Unbelievable. Yeah. All right. Well, just looking here in the third, take the 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, take out the 5, 6, 7, 8. Wow, 5, 6, 7, 8. We talked to Tom Morley. Morley staying in with Built to Last, and the MTOs. There is one out. Give me back my bullets among the live scratches. So we got Seth Merrow's favorite thing, the MTOs. He boxes up the MTOs and Built to Last. So a 5-horse field in the third, in the fourth. No real changes to speak of. Kinetic Sky has come out of the fifth. Kinetic Sky, who was going to be your 8-5 favorite, and Brad Cox did not mention that when we had him here earlier. So that's a vet scratch, actually. The sixth, you are taking the 2, 4, 6, 7, 8, 10, 12. And Jose Lascano on risk profile. One more time, the 2, 4, 6. 2, 4, 6. That's Thin White Duke. The 7, 8, 10, 12. 7, 8, 10, 12. So that leaves a field of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6-horse field in the sixth. The 1, 3, 5. 9, 11, 13. What? Now what?
Oh, it's Ukrainian Independence Day. That must be the Ukrainian.
Outstanding. Well, how about that? Good for us.
Yeah.
It's a young girl with the Ukrainian flag. Well, the 10th, Seth, let's run this down. We've lost 6 horses. The 3, 5, 7, 8, 10, 11. 3, 5, 7, 8, 10, 11. 8, 10, 11. But we add 4 horses by MTOs. 6 come out, 4 go in. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Got a 9-horse field in the nightcap. The 1, 2, 4, 6, 9, 12, 13, 14. Both ends of the entry run. So, not terrible.
No.
In terms of the way the scratch is. I got to make a decision, though, about my DePaula play of the day.
Oh, you were in the turf, but your horse is in.
The horse stayed in. In fact, amazingly, the seventh race, only one scratch out of that seventh. Run Smitty Run, the 4, came out, who was a 20-1 shot. So we still have 8 horses in that maiden 75 seventh. And I got to reevaluate whether Proven Hope is potentially as effective on the dirt as he would have been on the turf.
Has dirt form. Arguably the turf race was the best race, but does have some dirt form and still gets the maiden special weight to maiden claiming move. So,
well, and that's exactly what we're thinking of. So, all right, Leslie Young is going to join us. Let me okay. Let me get Leslie's number to you, and simultaneously we're going to look at how the we've got to change the card, and uh, the There we go. Seth, what did you do for your dark horse play?
Race number two, horse number two, In Good Trouble. I'd love to hear your opinion on the favorite in that race. And I think David Aragon is probably right. Even money on Gambling Girl. It's Pletcher and Rapoli. The buyers are nothing to write home about, but of those that have raced, the buyers have a big edge. So I think this horse will take some action. But to me, it looked like a race where I'm just not thrilled with that horse, and I thought a first-time starter might be live. So In Good Trouble by Sharp Azteca, who is just off to such a great start. 30 first-time starters this year, 7 winners, couple seconds, and a third. So I like the sire. On the dam side, there's a sibling called Spring Illusion that won the first start, won the third start of the career. Another sibling called Let Me Take This Call that won the first two starts of the career and was 13 for 43 overall and a stakes winner. So I thought there was some breeding. The trainer's a little cool at the meet, but that leads into the 10-1 morning line price, and I just thought it was a race where, as I say, I think the first time starters may be a little intriguing. Sweet Blush, interesting also with a little bit of breeding, but I'm going to go with Dark Horse Play today, brought to you by the Dark Horse Mercantile in downtown Saratoga. Race two, horse number two, In Good Trouble.
There we go. Casey's reaching for Lee, and in terms of for Leslie, and in terms of that race, I mean, I picked Gambling Girl. I thought the horse that might be intriguing is that Sweet Blush on the rail from Bill Morey, if you're looking for a firster. And, you know, Rudy Rod's got the second-timer, Maddie's Grace.
Coming out of what could be a very live race.
Yeah. And I actually thought that August Bloom might be another of the firsters. This one for Joe Sharp might be okay.
Yeah, Maddie's Grace, the winner is going in a Friday stakes race. The place horse won a similar race here on the 12th. So having run third, Maddie's Grace may be live coming out of that race. I looked at that one as well. Sweet Blush worked 10.3 before the sale. Had a sibling called Grantham that ran second in debut, won the second start. So I'm with you on the one being intriguing as another first. And they paid a pretty good amount of money for the horse down at Ocala as well. But I'm going to take a little bit of a swing with In Good Trouble.
Seth Merrow, everybody, and while we're together yet, let's get one more trainer visit in. I was hoping to get Leslie Young right here because she's smiling all the time and so much fun and so upbeat, and really the whole year, I'm sure, she's been smiling and upbeat. Because, Leslie, you are having an unbelievable year, not just a great Saratoga. Good morning.
Hi, Steve. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Not at all. And, I had it on my mind, particularly with the Walsh, the way this came up. And, obviously, they're going to are they going to redraw for next Thursday, the way it looks?
Yes, but we're going to have to re-enter and go from there. Obviously, I'm super disappointed because we're here, but I understand, why I guess it had to come off. So I'm actually going to leave my three runners here instead of shipping home. It's 5.5 hours back and whatnot. I did it last year with Bodeswell, and he went up here. So we're going to do that this time and leave our groom and a jockey up here with him, and we'll go from there.
Well, of course, you probably have – will you have runners at Colonial on Monday?
I do. I'll have 2 maiden runners and 2 maiden starter runners, so a total of 4 Colonial. I have a first-time starter for Silverton Hill tomorrow on the flat at Delaware, so he needs to get educated, and he's going to have a maiden run there tomorrow. So we've got a lot on our plate this next coming, 10 days.
I would say, and the starter at Delaware with Maddie Rowland riding, Sayuk?
Yeah, it's I actually, when Shadwell, when she calmed down, died, his daughter took over, and unfortunately they kind of had to downsize the operation, so Shadwell ended up dispersing a lot at the horse and training sale at Tattersall's last autumn, and the Hamiltons, who are just phenomenal owners of Silverton Hill, they said, oh, well, if you see something you like or something fun for the right price, and we picked him up as a two-year-old, unraced, and he's already schooled up, Steve, ready to go over the hurdles in the fall, but we just wanted to give him some runs on the flat just to teach him to go forward, and hopefully maybe he'll do something.
Very cool. We'll watch for that tomorrow at Delaware.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping, you know, he just has a nice experience, a good run, and then, you know, I'm hoping to maybe get another flat race or so into him before he goes over hurdles. So we do like him, but, you know, he's going to need the experience on Thursday.
Well, we have to, you know, as many nice wins as you've had over the years, when you put everything together collectively, this is your best year as a trainer, and that's in earnings, that's in total races won, and Leslie, it just feels like so many things have really come together, and you know, to make this happen. You're always competitive, but boy, it feels like, you know, this has been kind of a magical year from the outset.
Well, it is, and obviously, number one, you have to have good owners and that buy you the horses, and you have to have good staff. So I'm very lucky. I have both, and you know, it was really helpful this year. I kind of finally found a little security in the fact that I had two owners purchase Ashwell Stable, which was Jonathan Shepherd's training facility in Pennsylvania. And, you know, it's still a work in progress. You know, we redid the track. It's still not finished. So, in hindsight, I've had to kind of, go here on the all-weather, go there for, you know, this field. We really do a lot of kind of interval training. We'll train on a track, but we also train on turf gallops uphill. And I just have never really changed that. I think that horses are like children. Each one's an individual, and you might be able to get to Harvard, but you might have to just go a different route. And so it's, you know, some horses prefer routine of going to the track. Others I have that really stay fresh if you mix it up. And I like to turn my horses out every day, which is a risk, but I feel it just really helps their mindset and just the way they feel. So it's been a blessing. It's been a lot of work moving into Shepherd's. I've been lucky with the Potters from Wales that bought into it, and another owner, and they've really supported me that way, which is huge, because you know this game, it's expensive, and it's taken a long time to kind of get here, but we've pushed in and persevered, and I think that you know, we proved that we belong, and I'm happy, you know. I'm happy for Patty, I'm happy for myself, and I'm thankful for the owners and to buy us the nice horses.
Well, I mean, just starting right out in March when the season kicked off, and wins at Aiken and at Camden and pretty much everywhere, Montpelier, Middleburg.
Well, you know, too, which is kind of fun for, like, your flat racing crowd, like, B Major, we claimed him out of Meadowlands from Kelly Green. He had a full brother, Ritzy AP, that had won over Jump Flash. And another horse that just won for me, Cause for Pardon, he was claimed out of Arlington Park for 10. One was claimed for 7,500. You know, then I've been very lucky, the filly that won the stake, you know, she was a 100,000-year-old filly. So on all levels, you know, one of my best horses last year, Booby Trap, was claimed out of Charlestown for $4,500 and earned over $80,000 last year over Jump. So, you know, there's all kinds. And, you know, I always try to remind the flat people, too, life might not be over for those turf horses, that they just kind of find themselves in a place where they might be out of conditions or getting a little bit, they might need a change of scenery, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely. A new job, essentially. And, you know, they qualify. Let me also note a few others, because we didn't get a chance during the course of the season. But how about Andiamo's win, right?
He is such a wonderful horse. I mean, Patty and I got him when he was 4 years old, and I bought him for €10,000. And they said, oh, well, he's a bleeder. And I'm like, well, how bad? They said, well, we don't really scope him all the time, but, you know. And I said, okay. And I think I had a couple people turn me down on him, saying, well, why is he that cheap? And I'm like, all right. And he is 12 years old. He has won anywhere from the flat in France to Monmouth Park over hurdles to being second in the Turf Riders to winning the cross-country races and being Timber Champion. And right now he's in the lead again for Timber Champion at 12 years old. And, you know, I have a lot of horses that are 10, 11, 12. But I'm happy. I think that says something about, you know, the longevity in the sport. And, yeah, we've had a break maybe here or there, but we've given them the time when they need it. And, again, it's just doing the right thing for the horse. And I feel if you do that, they will repay you. They really will. And, he's just been the best gift ever, you know, and he's a dude. He loves the game. He loves being competitive.
That's tremendous. Won the Gold Cup, and Tom Magaro won the My Lady Manor, and Redisian. How old's Redisian now?
Is he eight? He's eight. You're catching me on here now, because I think we have one more year. You know, with the age limit in New York, you know, which is a little difficult. And I wish, you know, I understand why they do it. I do. And I'm very appreciative of Naira for having these races for us. And I hope they continue to for a long time. But it's really hard, because our jumpers usually do get a break where, you know, sometimes on the flat circuit, you know, you go to Florida up, you kind of just continuously go. We give them, you know, a couple months off every year. And a lot of these horses we get from Europe aren't even broken until they're 3 years old. So, if you're buying the National Hunt kind, like that filly that just won the stakes, she wasn't broken until she was three. And so they don't really have the wear and tear in a sense. And that's why it was just a bummer. I wanted to bring Rashan back, but he had a little setback, and then there was just no point, because they can't run after they're 9 years old up here, you know? So that's a little bit of a bummer, because it is different the way we train, the way we kind of our season goes, and how we do usually give jumpers time off. But, you know, you never know. Things might change in the future or whatnot, or maybe it won't, but that's just the way it is right now.
Well, you should got to include in the review of how great a year it's been, got to include the win Monday in the Randolph Rouse, our Bab.
I know. I was delighted. You know, she's by the same sire as Andiamo, which is Walk in the Park. I want to say, now I could be wrong, I'm not sure if Sir Michael Stout trained him, but he is one of the Coolmore sires in Ireland that they stand along with, I think there's Yates and Leading Light. There's some horses that Coolmore now, they have their flat, when you say, like I say flatbred, you know, they have their flatbred sires. Then they have their other turf horse sires, more for like jumping types, like those turf horses that were winning long on the turf. They've kind of promoted them as National Hunt sires, and they're fantastic, and I love the Walk in the Parks. Then Hamish McCauley, an agent friend of mine, brought her to my attention, and she'd had one point-to-point in Ireland, but she fell. And when she fell, she was right there in contention. And no, she was not a cheap filly, but she had the whole package, and it wasn't really her fault when she fell. But she ran back in a maiden, And she needed that run. She was kind of green to the racetrack. And then she just had it all together and ran like how I thought she would. And to be honest, I was just looking at the times, and her time for that was the second faster than most of the other races up there at that distance. But she's a lovely filly, so I'm happy for Leaper's Fork.
Well, and that, you know, you mentioned the ownership side, and today's originally scheduled race was going to be a nice showcase on that front, because you had Maranto Manor, you have, and the two from Leaper's Fork. Tapatino happens to be a perfect Tapatino horse that I've kind of I haven't really bet him properly, but I root for him. And then this Fast Vision seems like. There's a nice future here. You know, we're, seems like there's a nice, steady supply, Leslie, of younger horses that are, have made their way into the Chase community. I look down, I see more four-year-olds than I ever remember seeing.
Well, and here, you know, a prime example, Perfect Tapatino, Fip Key, you know, had Perfect Soul. He dropped, bred the mare, dropped the foal in France. He was with Joseph O'Brien. He had some very good flat numbers there. He ended up with Roger Atfield, and I bought him out of the Fazzy Tipton sale for $11,000. And he's been—he was older. He was seven, but he had that beautiful breeding. He loves to jump, and he's been. He's paid us back in every way. He is a classy, classy horse. And then we have Fast Vision, who won at Nashville, and he's going to get better with age. Sorry, a truck went by. He's going to get better with age, and he likes the longer distance. And we had gotten him out of France, out of Arcana. And then Ledford was a fun buy Tom Garner and I bought in England out of a sale. And we said, let's see if we can qualify him for Royal Ascot. And we did. And we got to go to Royal Ascot, which was so fun. And he ran ninth out of 19, being the longest shot on the board. So we were tickled pink. We felt like we won the race. And that was just a fun horse that had some flat form and had won over hurdles. And we had a great, great time. And he was not expensive at all. So I think he'd be... You know, he needed that other race, just kind of, you know, his trip was a little rough coming over. So I think this time around it'd be a little better for him. But, you know, there's all different kinds of level of horse, and doesn't matter if they're a maiden claimer on the flat or if a stakes winner, they could be a good jumper. So it's always something fun for people to keep in mind, you know.
Well, I wanted to absolutely take the time to visit with Leslie Young, who is having as great a campaign as anybody could have on the circuit. You know, the focus sometimes goes in the same direction in terms of attention to the jump set. Leslie Young, one of our favorites forever. And Leslie, I will talk to you soon. I'll see you next week. And continued success. You're killing it.
Oh, thank you so much. And, you know, thank Naira for having us up here. We do appreciate it. And come by the barn sometime.
I should, actually. And love, by the way, to Patty and the kids. And for those of you that, you know, that love the game, you got to have tremendous love for the Young family that is just their whole life is woven into the sport. And Leslie's been on the racetrack in one form, shape, or another forever, and does just an amazing job. And having, you know, this spectacular season, Seth, it's... I mean, I don't know if you know, look at the numbers, but... Oh, she's still there. I'm sorry. I thought here I am doting, carrying on, saying all kinds of nice things. Now, making you blush. Leslie Young, everybody. Seth?
Solid numbers. I mean, we're looking at 22 wins and 80 starts for the year. Can't beat that.
You can follow Leslie, by the way. Leslie Young 1 on your Twitter. So add Leslie to your your roster of follows. Seth, we got about, well, we got about a little less than 5 minutes. Any other thoughts about the card?
You know, with the scratches, it, again, you're kind of chasing things around. In the third, I went to the MTO Tommy Gun, so I'm kind of master of the obvious there. The fourth I thought was a competitive race. I wound up with Zen Master, but boy, I think you could go, you could point at the entire field and I would probably have an equal level of confidence. I just think it's really competitive, very evenly matched. The fifth race, I like the Brad Cox runner. That one got scratched, so now I scratch into Good Culture. We'll see where the odds are. Roderick was the morning line. Actually, the morning line second choice, you would assume now goes to favoritism, but I thought Good Culture might be a little bit interesting in there. Speaking of Roderick, nice win the other day for Roddy Vellante on Sunday.
Yes.
Had the clever claim from Gulfstream. I ran into him before the race. He said, you know, the horse had a little ding. We gave the horse 90 days off. He said, I really like the horse today, and ran very well. It was a club. Roddy was playing the claiming game down at Gulfstream this winter, and that was a turned out to be a clever claim. Sixth race, I went the Pletcher horse, body of the field, on the move to dirt. I thought that one had dirt form. The last race leaves you scratching your chin a little bit, but maybe that, now with the switch in surface, maybe this horse will you know, appreciate that.
Which horse?
Under Oath, the three.
Okay, I got you. Yeah, I just see the now there's an additional scratch, King Angelo. Who might have been very good off the turf. King Angelo scratch now, too, the sixth. So we got a five-horse field there.
Ah, that's interesting because, yeah, King Angelo. But, again, I used the Pletcher horse and then the MTO in there. Seventh was one of those races where I didn't change turf or dirt. Every once in a while, you look, there's no MTOs, and I don't know if there's anything to really get your juices flowing, switching up the Princess Spur for Pletcher. Had a good off-the-turf debut effort, and then went to the turf last time. Now goes maiden special weight to maiden claim. He gets back to the dirt, so I just stuck with that when I went 8-7, 5-9 in the seventh.
I'll make the changes as fast as I can here, and actually we got a little bit of extra time because the first post now isn't until 1:39 with the cancellation. So it's almost like Twilight Racing.
Kind of, yeah. Wish they'd bring back Twilight. Couple times a season would be nice.
Or once, maybe. Just once.
Yeah, yeah. Once. That's just okay. Once. That's okay, too. But it would bring in kind of a new crowd.
We'll get you back here for some Travers opinions tomorrow or Friday.
Sounds good. I'm right around the corner.
Seth Merrow, wrapping up. This was a little bit of a herky-jerky morning. Nobody was where they were supposed to be, really, at the start. But thanks to Ron Anderson, who gave us the okay on Rosario riding. He's back. Brad Cox for a nice sit-down. Dick Powell, Tom Morley, Sid, live from Hill and Dale, Kenny McPeak, Leslie Young, all part of this Wednesday get-together. Good luck today, everybody. We will talk to you from the race course here tomorrow. If you missed anything, replay 6 to 9 tomorrow. Archive and podcast. Case will have the action loaded up later this afternoon. And I'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks, everybody.
It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Thoroughbred horse racing is back in Virginia as Colonial Downs conducts its More Racing, More Money summer season presented by Woodford Reserve. An early week racing schedule and average daily purses of $625,000. The 9-week meet runs from July 11th through September 7th with racing every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m. Wager on Colonial's 50-cent pick 5 with a low 12% takeout and a new carryover provision. All races will be broadcast on TVG this summer. Colonial Downs racing Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.